We have many different halachot in Parshas Mishpatim. That's an understatement. But just to focus on one which is not so well known. So in the context of the mitzvah of lending money, possibly only to the poor or to everyone, the pasuk says, "Kesef talver ami en ani imach." And so if you lend money to my nation, to the poor among you, so you shouldn't be like a creditor and you shouldn't lend money to him with interest. So Chazal, focusing on the words, lotia lo kenosha, don't be like a creditor, understand it as follows. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Hamad Beis, says that let's say you lend somebody money, and you know that he doesn't have the money to pay you back. Right? You said that he would pay you back on the 1st of March, and on the 1st of March, you're fully aware that he doesn't have the money to pay you back. So the Gemara says it's usur for you to do anything that will make him uncomfortable. Don't even go near him if that's going to make him think that you're going to pressure him to pay back. Give him a little bit of space. Right? Don't embarrass him by acting like a creditor, pressuring him, or even creating sort of implied pressure when you know that he can't pay back at that moment. Right? This is related to the fact that lending money is part of the mitzvah of tzedakah. So you should let it go at least for a little bit. Obviously, you are allowed eventually to collect, but whatever the parameters are of the halacha, that's what Chazal say. So they saw the following shaila by Rav Asher Weiss. He was asked by someone who runs a gemach, right, free loan gemach, right, where they lend money without interest. And he said, "I have a problem. Often when I lend out money, it comes the time to pay back, and inevitably the people don't have the money to pay back. But the gemach will collapse if I don't actually collect the money. So what am I supposed to do? And if, according to this Israel, Tielo Kenosha, I can't go and I can't pressure the person, I'm really in a bind." So he asked Rav Asher, "Could I do the following? Can I set a condition in the loan that the day that the loan comes due, if they don't pay it back, it will transform retroactively from a loan to a pikadon?" Right, what's a pikadon? A pikadon is like, I have my cell phone and I give it to somebody and I say, "Hold on to it for me. It's not yours. You're not allowed to use it. You're just my guardian." Right? Can I do that? Because then if they don't pay it back, so retroactively it wasn't a loan, they're only my guardian. And obviously if you have my phone, I want it back. I'm allowed to go over and say, "Give me back my phone." So this way I would solve the problem. Can you do that? So first Rav Asher says, "I don't like that solution for one obvious reason, which is it's not a real solution. If it was really just like me giving someone my phone to hold on to, so they wouldn't be allowed to use it. So that would mean that retroactively, if they did use the money and now they can't pay it back, I've turned them into a thief. And if you're going to say they are allowed to use the money, then it's not a pikadon, it's a loan." Right? So it just doesn't work. That's his first point, that it simply doesn't work. That, I think, is clear. But then he says something that I'm very unsure about, but I have no sources to support what I'm about to say, and Rav Asher is much greater than I am, but I'm very not clear on what he says after this. The second thing he says is that it seems to be that according to the Gemara, the reason you can't pressure somebody into paying the loan when you know he doesn't have the money is because you're going to embarrass him. So he says, well, that assumes that it wasn't normal in the time of Chazal that if you owed money and then it came due, let's say March 1st, that you would then go borrow money from somebody else to pay back the first loan. Because if that solution existed, then why would it be embarrassing, right? He'll go and he'll borrow from somebody else to pay you back, and then when that loan comes due, he'll pay that person back. But Rav Asher says that's the reality of the modern economy, right? You pay off one credit card with another credit card if you have to. It's not a good situation, but it's a real situation. Rav Asher says if that's the case, then since he could just borrow the money to pay you back, so then obviously you're allowed to ask him for the money because you're allowed to ask somebody for the money if he has the ability to pay back. Who cares if the only way to pay you back is through another loan? If that's normal, so it's mutter. And here I'm very unclear on this because he assumes the only problem with pressuring someone to pay you back a loan when you know he doesn't have the money is because it's embarrassing. I think pshat in the psukim, as the Gemara says, it's in the context of ribis. The reason you can't act like a creditor, someone doesn't have the money, is because you're driving him farther into debt. Right? If you pressure him, he doesn't have the money, right? So you make him feel like he doesn't have money. It's even worse if you force him to go into more debt, right? You force him, he's now taking money from this interest-free loan from the Gemach, and now what's he going to do? He's going to pay you back from his credit card, and now he's going to have to borrow with interest from the bank, right? You're just driving him farther into debt. I think the whole point of Lotia Lo Kenosha is that you're not supposed to act like a creditor. How much more of a creditor can you be if you're forcing him to borrow from somebody else, possibly with interest, to pay you back your loan? So here it's very unclear to me why Rav Asher says that this is the case. I have no sources to support me, but intuitively, if anyone has sources, tell me afterwards. Intuitively, I can't imagine this is correct. The third thing he says is that there's a three machlokas achronim. When does the prohibition of lotia lo kenosha apply? Does it only apply when I know for sure the person doesn't have money? But if I have even a slight suffix that maybe he does have the money, he doesn't seem like it, but he does, I can ask him. If it turns out he doesn't, but I'm at least allowed to ask, right? So that's the position of the Kesef Kedoshim. Or the Peleoit says, no, it's the opposite. You have to know that he has the money for sure. If you even have a doubt that he doesn't have the money, so then you're not allowed to ask. And the Minchas Chinuch is Misupak, which way you go. He's not sure. If you're not sure, what do? He doesn't know. Rav Asher Weiss thinks it's clear that the only time it's usher is if you're absolutely sure he doesn't have the money. If there's any possibility he has the money, you're allowed to ask. You're allowed to pressure because maybe he has the money. So in that ground, Rav Asher says you're allowed to ask. Again, on his first point that it's a ruse, I think that's true. On his last point that I've seen that most of the Acharon Pasim, of the Kesef Kedoshim, that as long as there's a possibility that the person has money, you're allowed to ask. On his middle point, that there's no prohibition of asking someone to pay you back a loan because he could borrow more money to pay you back. That I really have a suffix about because I think that is the epitome of lotia lo kenosha. You're acting as a creditor and creating extreme discomfort. I have no sources. If anyone has, let me know afterwards. In the meantime,